Hi, this is Dale Nortz from A Fistful of Reviews podcast, and with me today I have an exclusive interview for the Ben Heck podcast with the Lochnar, the legendary villain from the cheesy 80s movie Heavy Metal. He's agreed to sit down and have a chat with us, or kind of hover there anyway, and we're going to see what we can find out. Hello, Lochnar.
It is good to be here in the presence of people who understand my power.
Yes, yes, you were very powerful.
And by the way, Heavy Metal was not a cheesy movie. It was a very accurate portrayal of my life, telling all of my journeys, or at least the ones I care to share with you, because I am awesome.
Right. Well, I don't know what to say after that.
I could have shown her much, much more of my story, but it was so awesome it would have caused her brain to explode in sheer audacity from the appreciation of how cool I am, because I am the Lochnar.
Wow. Right. So, Lochnar, how did you get started in show business?
Well, there's a good story behind that. Long ago, my mother, who was a blues fear of death, said, "Locke, you should get into dentistry." And I'm like, "I am not going to do that, for I am much better than dentistry." But I went to dental school anyway, and one time, when practicing on someone who had come in for a free cleaning, well, I accidentally disintegrated them, and I thought, "Hey, this is my calling. I could wander around time and history and dimensions, because I can do that being the Lochnar, and disintegrate people." Then eventually, Columbia Pictures decided to make a movie based off my life, and I said, "Very well, if you wish to show everyone how cool I am, I cannot argue with that." And the movie was born. But I had something in my contract that said, "I will only make this movie if it contains 9,000 pairs of breasts."
I was about to ask you, are you a nudity enthusiast as well as a disintegration enthusiast?
As you may have noticed in my movie, Heavy Metal, The Chronicles of My Life, I take care to disintegrate the clothes first, at least when killing women. So yes, I do appreciate nudity. No one in that movie was allowed on sets with anything smaller than a C cup, usually F. I will not suffer a small rack.
Wow. So you went to dental college. That's pretty impressive. I never would have guessed.
Well, right, until the accidental murder.
Right,
but
right.
But looking back now, it was meant to be.
So, Lochnar, I hear you've had a pretty interesting life. What was your favorite part?
It would probably have to be the time I landed on some sort of alien planet and turned all the inhabitants evil, or at least half of them. Upon turning evil, their skin turned green to match that of their master, me, the Lochnar. Then I swelled to the size of a mountain and looked down on my minions as they wreak havoc.
So, what have you been doing in the meantime? I mean, how long did it take you to come back into, to regain your form?
Well, I've been doing a lot of theater work, you know, off-Broadway, mostly. I tried for Lion King, but I disintegrated Mufasa. And they're like, no, that's not what we want. And I'm like, fuck you. And then I disintegrated the director. But anyway, I found I was in Rent for a little while. I got AIDS in that play. But the thing with Broadway is they're always wanting me to get naked, which is all right, I suppose, because I already am naked, being a glowing blue orb, but mostly I prefer to see female breasts naked.
Well, who doesn't?
That is true. You may have seen in my movie, there was much of that.
Yes, yes, that's really the only thing I remember about Heavy Metal is a pterodactyl and some boobs. But with your naturally booming voice, I would assume you are natural to, do some narrating or voiceover work.
That is a good point. The death of Don LaFontaine really opened up doors for a lot of us. But I've got a mortgage like anyone else. No matter how awesome you are, you still have to pay it every month.
So, do people have to pick you up in order for you to disintegrate them?
Typically, physical contact is required for them to be disintegrated, but I have been known to actually project my disintegration at will. Especially during World War II when I made a bunch of zombies, which kind of sucked because there weren't any women in World War II. Therefore, there were no boobs. which displeased the Lochnar.
So, Lochnar, you mentioned an arm mortgage before. What about arms? Wouldn't you rather have had arms than, you know, like the power to disintegrate people? Or were you not able to make that choice?
Let me put it this way. You have arms, but how many people have you disintegrated?
Like maybe a half a person?
Right. I do not need arms because I am just so awesome. I float around. And I can change size, too.
Are you like a god or what?
I don't know what I am. Many a year I have searched through the library and, of course, Wikipedia, trying to figure out where I came from, but I don't know.
Ha, now we're getting somewhere. We're learning much about you, Lochnar. It's really just your family issues, not knowing where you came from.
Well, I had a mother, as I mentioned, who
was she a bowling ball? Because that was a running bet I had with a friend of mine.
She was a bowling ball.
I knew it!
And when I never knew my father. When I came out of her womb, which was one of the holes, I was glowing green, much like Jesus.
Whoa, Jesus was glowing green?
I was the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem.
Well, that was a pretty benign thing for you to do, instead of, like, disintegrate them.
That was before I joined dental school.
I see.
Because there weren't dental schools back then.
I gotcha.
People's teeth just fell out.
Thank you for coming, Lochnar. It's been a great honor.
You should be honored to be in the presence of the Lochnar.
Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck, and Norn.
And I am the antidote, Jason Jones.
What about Andrew Ryan?
That was like 2 years ago.
Those were good times.
They were.
Well, this is episode 63 of our podcast. God damn, we've done that many?
Yeah.
Even though we don't do them very often. Now it's like once a month, but
yeah.
Come on. What can people expect out of us? Right?
More, I suppose.
$15,000 of silver. Today it'd be worth more. Anyway, for today's topics, well, Jones finally found a Zune HD.
I did.
So,
of course, the moment I ordered it online, they showed up in stores.
At
but,
Best Buy.
You know, go figure.
That's why. That was a...
Yep, it was all my fault, so sorry, fellow Madisonians, for, you know, holding up the show.
Yeah.
But
yeah, what was it, on Saturday? We went there, and
yeah,
it's like, just watch. Then there they were, a whole stack of them, the 32 gigs.
Sure enough.
So we're going to discuss the Microsoft Zune HD versus the iPod Touch, since now we finally have both of them. And more importantly, the difference between iTunes and the Zune marketplace. You know, in like years between how long it takes to do something on either one. PSP Go, we were going to talk about that a little bit, and the downloadable games, and then apparently there's a pitfall with that, not pitfall, but a pitfall, in that PSP Go games have to be ESRB rated, which means you have to pay like $2,500 or something, whereas in the iTunes App Store, it doesn't matter, and it shouldn't, quite honestly, but then what I'd like to discuss in that is like, you know, movie theaters not showing unrated movies and, you know, not selling unrated games, but then they'll sell an unrated DVD. Lame. And then, what was the other thing I mentioned?
Well, you had, like, Uncharted 2.
Oh, yeah,
and
I bought
Fallout
that.
3.
Yes.
Since I'm finally playing it now.
Yes! How far did you get?
Let's see. I did the, like, vampire cult thing.
Oh.
I went through that.
What was it? Is it called, like, True Blood or Blood?
Yeah.
Something with Blood.
Blood Ties, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that like in a subway?
Yes.
So let's just get started right now talking about video games.
Why not? That's why we're here after
all. So did you get sucked in yet?
A little bit. Like the first night playing it, I was left wanting, you know, where I was like, I want to play that again, you know, and like at work the next day I was like looking forward to getting home so I could play it. And then I played it like last night and it was, you know, still cool, but it just feels like I'm not really going anywhere still, but I think the next thing I'm going to do is just say, like, fuck it and, like, go to Rivet City, because I haven't gone there.
Right.
Just to, like, go somewhere other than Megaton. basically, because
so
everything...
you're not doing the main quest yet, then? You're not looking for Liam Neeson?
Not yet, because, yeah, like, the next thing on the main quest I have is the Galactic Radio, where you have to, like, go hunt that down or whatever.
The main quest doesn't... Well, it's, like, 20 hours, but compared to everything else you can do in the game, it isn't... It's about the same as Oblivion, because you can blow through Oblivion in, like, 20, 25 hours if you want. And
yeah.
That's what I did. I, like, did the main quest, and there's... entire areas of the game you never even see if you do the main quest. Like, you don't even have to go into downtown DC for the main quest.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's because I got the Game of the Year edition on Tuesday, of course, so that one came with all of the DLC, and it's pretty slick. Like, when you put the disc in for the DLC, it brings up a little screen, you know, and you have to do, like, some sort of update to be able to install it, but then it gives you a list of the five things, then you can check or uncheck each one, depending on if you want to install them all or not, and then you just install it, and boom, everything, like, you come out of the vault, and then you get, like, these little messages that pop up, and they're all related to the different DLC, so it's, like, all there right off the bat.
I loaded up my old evil female character the other day,
yeah,
because I was trying to get some more achievements, and it was from a save before any of the DLC came out. So, yeah, as soon as you open up the save, it, like, yeah, all that stuff pops up.
Yeah.
So
that was pretty cool. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, you come out of the vault, and it's like, wow, there's, like, tons of shit to do. Although, who knows, if I went and tried to do one of those, maybe I would get my ass handed to me. I don't know.
I've heard that it's good to do the Operation Anchorage thing, because since it's a simulation, your character doesn't have to be really that good to...
Yeah, and you can get some good swag out of it.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah.
Although, one of the fallacies with that game, and I guess Oblivion had the same issue, is you had to discover things to fast travel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting down to where the...
yeah, because it's, like, down pretty much at the bottom of the map.
Just getting there could be quite a battle, because there's, like, the giant ant section, and there's, of course, there's a cannibal town near there. I've played that game a lot. If you ever get stuck, just let me know. I know the whole thing.
Yeah, the one thing I was trying to find that kid that, yeah, it was part of the Blood Ties thing or whatever, and so there's...
Doesn't the kid go to Erefu? Isn't that what happens? That town.
That's
like
the town. Like, you go to Erefu, and then they, like, say, hey, this kid went missing, and his parents are dead, and all that. And then there's, like, these three spots where they're like, this is probably where they're hiding out, but he's not actually in any of those spots. Like, you go down that manhole, and that's how you get to the subways. But
right.
Down in one of those places, there's, like, this caged... It's almost like kind of like a cell, but it's got like a gate on it, and you need a key to get into it. And the key's nowhere around there. I actually, you know, cheated and looked it up online, and apparently you have to go to Rivet City and talk to some dude named Three Dog or something like that. And then,
wait, Three Dog is the guy at Galaxy News Radio.
Ah. Well, they said something about Rivet City and Three Dog. I don't know. But they said you have to go there and do something, and then he'll give you this key, and then you can go back to that place. And apparently there's, like, a bunch of good swag back in there.
There's so much shit in that game. It's amazing.
But, yeah, it's pretty neat. I like it, you know, how, like...
I am jealous. I'd rather be playing Fallout 3 for the first time than Uncharted 2. I'm jealous of you, literally.
Well, it was funny, too, like, in Megaton, where, like, I made a choice, and, like, the sheriff dude died... And so then, like, I asked you about it, and you're like, no, you can do that, and the sheriff will live. And so it's kind of neat that, like, you can take, like, the righteous path or whatever, and that dude can either live or die, depending on certain choices
right.
you make.
Well, the other choice is if you agree to blow up Megaton for that guy.
Yeah.
You go down to, like, Tenpenny Tower, which you probably haven't been to yet, which is, like,
no.
Like a nice hotel where a bunch of, like, rich assholes live, and... And basically, the owner of that wants to blow up Megaton because he thinks it's an eyesore. In a post-apocalyptic world, I don't know how anything could be an eyesore, but...
So he's the guy who, like, hired that dude who's in that bar that tries to coax you into doing it.
And what happens is, if you blow up Megaton, then you go back there, it's just a crater.
Yeah.
And Moira Brown from the Crater Side Supply... God, you tell I've played this game a lot. She becomes a ghoul because of it.
Oh, really?
So then she moves to Underworld, which you probably haven't been to yet, which is a ghoul city in the Natural History Museum in D.C.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, so... One thing about the game is, like, you actually feel bad about what you do. Like, you can actually feel guilty about your choices, which is a sign of a good game.
That's cool.
But if you do choose to be evil, unlike Oblivion, people can't outrun your bullets.
Ah, nice.
I'm sure in Oblivion you've tried killing people and they just run away from you.
They run away, yeah.
And they can try that in this game, but they don't get far. That's what I like about Fallout. It's like, it has video gamey things to it.
Yeah.
You know, this is after playing Uncharted where wave after wave of guys will come at you. But in Fallout, you know, there's like, you got just like random raiders and stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like fairly finite. So if you decide to kill such and such guard at Rivet City, you'll kill them and they'll always be dead, you know? It's like,
yeah.
The world is very finite. Or like the Nuka-Cola quantum bottles that I mentioned that you should save.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's like, it was funny because the sheriff dude, he got capped by that, you know, rich asshole, the guy in the bar or whatever, because I told the sheriff, you know, that this dude was trying to get people to blow up the town. The sheriff's like, well, I'll, you know, show him what justice is. And so he goes tear-assing off, and you go in there, and of course there's this confrontation or whatever, and he dies. But I go back into that bar, like, last night, and his body's still laying in the corner of the bar.
Oh, the bodies never disappear, ever.
And I was like, you know, you people could give this guy a decent burial, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, you mean the sheriff?
Yeah, the sheriff. The other guy's body, I don't think it was there anymore. I don't know what the deal was with that. But yeah, the sheriff's body's still laying there. And I'm like, Christ, his kid's still running around the town. Come on. Clean this up.
It's a testament to his life. God, that game is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool so far.
It is
so
really awesome. Like, you find the other vaults. Oh, look up the bobbleheads.
Okay.
Look up that shit. Eventually, there'll be a part where you go back to Vault 101, and there's a bobblehead that's in there.
Okay.
But after that mission, you can never go back and get it.
Oh.
So you need to get it before you... And, yeah, there's one in Vault 101 that you have to get either when you're first playing the game, or... There's a part where you have to go back to 101 briefly.
Okay.
So you should get it then. And there's one in Raven Rock, which is where the president lives.
Ah.
And you only get one chance to get that one. And the other one is you have to break into Lucas, the Lucas Sims.
Go
into his house, and there's one in his house. So grab, like, steal his key off his corpse.
Yeah, which actually I don't even need to do that, because since the path I took, I can just, like, go into the house. Because I had to go there to see his kid, because after I saved the town, like, after I, you know, deactivated the nuke,
mm-hmm.
I had to go to the house, and I just could walk right in and talk to his
kid.
Oh,
okay. So there's a bobblehead in there.
So, yeah, I read about that last night, because somebody was...
But if you were to blow up Megaton, you'd never be able to get it.
Yeah, they were saying that, you know, make sure you grab that one if you're going to blow up the town, because it'll be gone otherwise.
There's only three like that, but...
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm liking it so far. So
it took me about a week. I don't think I'd beaten the main game, and I was like, yeah, okay, but yeah, I don't know. It took me a couple of weeks, before I really, really got sucked in.
Yeah.
But again, it's such a great game. I love it so much. Even though it's like FPS, or I'm sorry, not FPS. It's like an RPG, really. If you choose to do the VAT system.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Because, you know, you can, like, take a bite of pizza or drink a beer while you're shooting the zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
Combat shotguns were good on the ghouls in the subways. You know, they're like, yeah. You, like, take their head off in one shot.
I've got, like, some Chinese sword that I picked up right away, and I've been using that to, like, hack people up. That works pretty good.
Yeah, that works pretty good early on.
I like it when... It's kind of neat, because, like, if you fight somebody with a melee weapon who's, like... You've got a melee weapon, and they've got a gun. It's like you can take them down so easy because they have, like, no way to defend themselves
mm-hmm.
once you get up close,
which is
pretty cool.
People will take guns off corpses in that game, too. You have to watch out for
that.
Yeah,
I've noticed that, which is pretty cool. But
yeah, I mean, that game isn't, like, as polished as Uncharted 2, which I guess we could talk about here, or, like, as beautiful, but the depth of it is just astounding.
Yeah.
What else was I going to bring up? Shit, I forgot. Yeah, I was probably about 40 hours... I was quite a ways into the game, or, like, just exploring, before I realized you combine weapons to repair them.
Yeah, because you told me that the other day, because, yeah, I had no clue, and I did that a bit last night. But, yeah, it was funny, like, because the night before you told me that, I'd, like, had a whole bunch of shit, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. like, well, I got a bunch of duplicates here, I'm going to go and sell this stuff off, and then... You told me that the next day, and I was like, ah, shit, but...
Well, depending on your repair skill, I mean, you can only...
You can only go up to a certain percentage,
I think,
kind of.
My character's done so much. Like, my repair skill, I think, is 100. So I can, like, if I have enough of a weapon, I can make it, like, you know, 100%.
Yeah.
But even, like, at a low level, I mean, you can still do quite a bit. And, you know, you're going to have, like, you know, 50 hunting rifles and 20 assault rifles and Chinese pistols or whatever. I mean, you can certainly... Well, there's a processed food factory filled with, like, zombified Chinese soldiers in that game. It's just so... that's why I asked about the DLC being on a second disc, because I'm like, I'm surprised the main game fits on one disc.
Yeah.
So there couldn't have been any extra room, and clearly there isn't.
Yeah, they basically, you know, treated it just like they did with that Oblivion Game of the Year thing where they put Shivering Isles on the second disc.
Speaking of that, do you think if someone were to take that secondary disc that you talked about, you think you could install that on multiple machines? Or do you think there's a code around it?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, all it does, you put the disc in, and it says an update is required. So I don't know if maybe there's something in that update that binds it somehow, but I don't think so. I think it's possible, but...
I've read about, like, Lego Rock Band. It has, like, an export feature.
Yeah.
You can export, of course, but for some reason it's, like, $10 now.
Yeah, instead of $5.
Lame. Yeah. But, and it only works once. Like,
yeah.
I think your Gears of War disc was like that, too, or some other disc you had where...
Yeah, there was, like, a map pack that...
Yep.
Yeah.
And it only works the first time for...
I think that's how Rock...
What?
I think that's how Rock Band 2 worked, didn't it? With the,
The export?
Or no, I guess we were able to do that on multiple games or systems, weren't we? Because didn't we do that on your machine, too?
Well, we both had our own copies of Rock Band as well.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Because that was actually that was actually in Rock Band.
Yeah.
Remember, we did it ahead of the new game coming out.
But there was like that thing with Rock Band 2 where you got like the 20 songs that came out later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yeah, like, you had a code, and it was, like, a one-time deal,
and they're all Paramore?
Nope. But, yeah, I don't know how the hell you'd, like, re-download those if... Must be something with your profile where maybe you could get away with it. You know, like, if your hard drive took a shit or something, you know? There must be some way, but, But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, with Fallout 3, if it worked the same way as Shivering Isles, where you could just... You know, plunk the disc in and install whatever ones you
want. That's like $50 worth of shit. Not just like $30 or whatever Shivering Isles was.
Yeah.
And actually, I played through all of those. Actually, I was going through Mothership Zeta again to get like some achievements because I didn't find all the alien recordings or something. And it is definitely, I don't know. I don't know if it's worse than Operation Anchorage, but it's definitely one of the least ones because you just endlessly fight aliens and they just do the same thing over and over and over and it's... I mean, it was fun shooting aliens, but it kind of gets old.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Last night I was running around, what was it? I think it was... Yeah, I was out by, like, that movie theater, like Sunset Theater or whatever the hell it is by that town.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, by that Arethu place or whatever the hell it is. But wandering around out there and I saw, like, a red thing and I'm like, oh, there must be some raider asshole out here. I guess I'll go take him out and... come around this corner and it's like one of those super mutant brute guys or whatever. It's like the first time I'd run into one and I'm like, oh shit, this isn't going to be good. But I actually managed to take him down, which was kind of surprising. He wasn't that tough. Like those freaking merc things or whatever.
Myolurks?
Ugh, I hate those things.
They're pretty tough.
Yeah, and they take a lot of energy off when they hit you. But
well, have you got to the Yaoguais yet? The irradiated bear?
No, haven't run across.
Those things are badass. And then, once you finally learn how to fight them, they come across a Deathclaw, which is like this giant thing with huge claws, and unless you're like at least level 15, if you see one of those, just run. They're bad news. Yeah.
They live up to their name.
Those are mostly in the northeast part of the map.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, you can find Germantown, you can find the Republic of Dave, which is the guy who like has his own country, apparently. There's like a haunted building, there's all sorts of military bases. Like, at least 6 different vaults.
Nice.
Did you go to Paradise Falls yet? The slave compound in the shopping mall?
No. Is, like, the Pentagon in there anywhere?
Yeah, that's where the Brotherhood of Steel lives.
Okay.
They're in the Pentagon.
I see. Nice.
That's where their giant robot is. Yes, it has a giant robot. If you come across the Mr. Gutsy, sometimes those are rolling around in the wild.
Okay.
It's like this hovering robot that's a ball with tentacles. Kind of like the one you see in the beginning that cuts the cake, except for it's evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, I guess. I've just seen, like, the iBots or whatever they're called that are just floating around.
Oh, yeah.
And they try to shoot at you sometimes.
That game is so awesome.
Yeah, the one thing I thought of, though, like, when I was first playing, like, what the hell was it? I was going from Megaton, and I was going up to that damn minefield town, because I was doing the crap for that Moira Brown for her little survival book.
Oh, yeah, oh, that one filled with minefields?
Yeah, and I was like...
There's a sniper there, too, right?
Yep. And I was going up there, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is taking a long time, because it's quite the hike there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why can't they have a horse in this game?
Yeah, that is definitely something that you have to walk everywhere, but once you fast travel enough, it's not too bad.
Well, that's what I wound up doing, because I went up there.
Did you find the dog yet?
No. But I went up to that mine town, and that fucking sniper took me out, and I hadn't saved when I got to the town.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm like, well, screw it, I'm going to go do something else. Then I went off to, like, Arethu and did all that stuff. And then when you come out of the subway tunnel, it's actually not too far from that minefield place. So then I, you know, did a few other things, but then I fast traveled back there and then went up and took care of the mine thing. And so,
yeah, when I loaded up my old code to get the different achievements, I didn't have nearly as many things discovered.
Yeah.
Because, of course, on my main code, I have every location discovered. Even though the achievement is just to locate 100, which is easy. Anyway,
it reminded me of Oblivion a little bit. Like that was the thing that sucked when I played Shivering Isles, because you start out in Shivering Isles and you haven't, you know, gone anywhere yet, and so then you can't fast travel, and you have no horse in Shivering Isles, and it's like, God damn, you gotta, like, walk forever to get to places, and it made me long for the days when I, you know, was playing regular Oblivion and, you know, had things found, or I had a horse so I could get somewhere quickly.
Yeah.
I was like, man, can't I find, like, some bombed-out piece of shit, you know, Plymouth LeBaron or something? And
yeah, I don't think anyone in that game has cars. It's weird, but maybe there's no gas left, even though there's plenty of whiskey and stim packs or whatever else.
Maybe the EMP, you know, charge from the nukes going off, like, zapped all the electronics and all the cars, and none of them work anymore.
Right. Well, don't forget there's achievements for hacking terminals.
Yeah,
and picking locks
that.
And all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I think I picked, like, one lock so far, but I'm sure over time I will do more of that. And I haven't hacked a terminal yet, but that'll come in time as well, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Well, here's a hint with hacking terminals. I'm sure, you know, you live with me long enough to see me playing Fallout all the time. You know, like that big screen with all the symbols, you have to, like, pick which word it is.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember seeing that.
Here's a hint. If anywhere on the screen, if you see a pair of brackets on the same line like this, like these brackets or greater than less than brackets, if you see a pair of brackets, put your cursor on the leftmost one, and it'll select the brackets and everything in between, and click on that, and that will either remove a dud password or replenish your allowance of how many incorrect guesses you get. So the first thing to do when you're hacking a password is like
find all the
two brackets enclosed on the same line.
Yeah.
Click on it and it'll, like, give you shit.
Nice.
Yep. Well, actually, no. Just guess the first three words. I mean, when I first, I didn't know about that. Like, Dave told me about that.
Okay.
I would just try to, like, figure, okay, 5 of 7 correct. So which word is it? You know, like old school. And he's like, just click on the brackets and you can, like, get stuff. And I'm like, oh. So now what I do, like, when I play my other character, is just pick the first three words and, like, they'll be wrong, which will give you, you'll have one guess left.
Yeah.
Then you go through and you hit all the brackets, which takes out all the duds, and then one of them will give you all your guesses back.
Uh-huh.
So you want to use up three guesses before you get them all back.
Before you do those, okay.
Well, so...
Because, yeah, I did try doing that once, and I was like, God damn, this is freaking hard. Because I went through and, you know, I bombed out, and of course the terminal got locked and stuff, and I was like, how the hell are you supposed to do this?
Well, that's
how. But
that
makes sense, so I'll have to keep that in mind.
Well, should we talk about Uncharted 2 then?
Sure. This is a game that I have not played, so it's all up to Ben.
Well, you played Uncharted.
I did, and it kicked ass.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same game.
Slightly more epic, probably.
Yeah, I think I'm only about halfway through. Oh, God, I gotta work on my... Maybe I could play it for, like, a little while tonight.
Sounds like it's got some pretty awesome, like, set piece type sections in it that you
Oh, it certainly does. Although some parts of it remind me of Dragon's Lair.
Pretty much
you have to, you basically can do one thing in a certain amount of time, and that's all you can do.
Okay.
I definitely think it's probably overrated. I mean, I guess I haven't beat it yet, but as I was talking about earlier, the graphics are amazing. I mean, the technology, you can tell it's very advanced, and the PlayStation actually, like, kicks its fan into high gear when it's playing, so it must be doing something. But you fight the same two guys a lot. You fight like a henchman in black and a henchman in gray. And sometimes they have shotguns, and sometimes they have riot shields, but there's actually not a lot of variety to that.
Yeah.
And some of the puzzles are just really, they don't make any sense.
Okay.
They have a hint system where you can hold up and it'll give you a hint.
Hmm.
And there's been a couple times when I've had to do that, and the thing is, the puzzle's like so eclectic that I don't feel bad about having to get the hint, because I'm like, I would have never thought to do that.
Yeah.
Like, one of them's like, you had to get across this river, or like a flooded part of a street, and this current's really strong, and you have to pick up propane tanks and throw them into the river to dislodge cars so they go down to the end so you can jump on them. Who the fuck would think of that? And there's like a stealth...
Well, if you would have, you know, remembered from the first game with, you know, the exploding barrels floating down the river.
Well, that made more sense than this, because those are just exploding barrels. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff where there's, like, just tons of shit going on. Like, the whole sequence of the gunship. You had to fight a gunship, and, like, it shoots a building in half, and you're in the building as it's falling over, and...
Yeah, that was the thing I think they showed at E3, like, when the guy demoed the level, and, yeah, it was, like, the building's kind of, like, falling apart, but there's, like, dudes jumping in through windows and shit, so, like, you're having these gun battles inside, and the choppers outside, like, blowing walls out, and
when you can,
pretty awesome.
It wasn't in that same part, but it was the same level where, like, I was shooting flower pots, and you could, like, shoot the clay off the edges, and the dirt's still inside, and...
Wow.
It's got tons of detail. I mean, it is a very advanced game.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, maybe why, since there's highly rendered flower pots, that's why you only fight two guys. I don't know.
The first game was kind of like that, too, wasn't it? Where, I mean, for, you know, when you're fighting the non, like...
Yeah.
You know, mutated people or whatever, like, in the early parts of the game, it's, like...
Kind of repetitive.
Yeah, it's, you know, which, I mean, really, it kind of makes sense. You know, you got, like, all your thugs, and they're probably going to be outfitted similarly, I would think.
Yeah, it's just...
You know, to me, I thought that was kind of neat about the first game, actually.
And it takes too many bullets to kill everyone.
Hmm.
But...
That's a common failing of games, I guess.
There was some other stupid flaw that I was going to bring up.
Well, here's the key question.
Oh, but it doesn't have this... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, yes.
Do you have to use the goddamn six axis to throw a grenade?
That's fixed.
Thank God. Okay.
Yeah, there's no... Or like that balancing shit,
yeah,
that's
that,
gone too.
Is the six axis even used at all?
Not at all.
Ah,
not,
God bless Naughty Dog.
Yes, that was one thing I was going to tell you, yes. It's like, you can hit... I can't remember what button it is, but you can, like, just kind of blind throw a grenade over cover.
Okay.
Or you can hold on L2 to, like, see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Kind of like Gears of War, actually.
Yeah.
And then you push the button and go. So, yeah, it works a lot better. No six axes.
Because, God, I just gave up even trying to throw grenades
in the first game.
It was just ridiculous.
I haven't tried the multiplayer yet. Supposedly it's supposed to be pretty good.
So it has, like, a co-op component. Is that, like...
Does it?
Yeah, I've read that. I guess you wouldn't know then. I was wondering if it's, like, in the campaign or if it's, like, kind of separate levels,
I don't know.
But
I like the... well, even with the first game, as you know, I love blowing things up in video games and guns and stuff, but I actually enjoyed, like, the puzzle jumping stuff better in the first game than the gun stuff, and I would say that holds true.
Yeah.
Although it's probably actually less of the puzzle stuff, but... The action sequences they do have, like, the train sequences, it's just huge. I mean, really, it's more advanced than anything I'd seen before. Like, you're on a train, and you're on top of the train, then you're inside of the train, then you're fighting a helicopter on the train, and then the train's blowing up, and cars are being blown off the back of the train, and tons of shit is going on. So, I don't know. I don't know how far I am in it. Maybe, like, 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, haven't found any Nazi subs in the middle of the... jungle yet.
There was a train sequence in the first game, too.
There was?
Wasn't there? Because there's, like, a gorge, and the train kind of, like, falls off, and you end up on top of one of the train cars or something.
In the first game?
I think. Or maybe I saw a video for this game, and that's what
happens. That happens in this game. It's
okay.
In the snow.
That might be it. Maybe I saw, like, a video or a something and it showed it, because that sounded familiar. I was like, oh, a train sequence, but...
One thing that was kind of dumb is pretty early on in the game, you had to be stealthy, and I saw a review that brought this up, too, and it's like this one room you have to get past, and it's really, really hard to do. And it's like 20 minutes into the game. That seemed a little unbalanced to me.
Hmm.
Not only was it hard to do, but like the stealth didn't make sense. There's like 8 guys in there, but apparently their fields of view were incredibly narrow.
Okay.
I guess my point is, you know, it's not perfect. I mean,
yeah.
I think the reviews on the internet are probably a little much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still awesome, though. Like, there's a part where the spiked ceiling was coming down to get me, of course. And there's no skulls laying around to stick into the gears. But in one of the walls, you can see the gears running it. And the solution is to shoot the teeth off the gears so it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. It's always cool when he's like... Because in so many games, like, shooting the background or shooting things has no effect.
It does nothing, yeah.
You know, like, oh, I shot this light bulb, but it doesn't do anything. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So it's cool when, like, you can just shoot at things to, like, solve a problem. I mean, like, I'm sure you remember the first time you played GoldenEye.
Yeah.
The very first stage is like, this door is locked, and the solution is to shoot the lock. It's like, yep. Yes! It's like right off the bat, you know it's awesome.
Yep.
Actually, for some reason, this game reminds me of GoldenEye a lot. I don't know why.
Hmm. That's one of the things, like, with Bioshock, too. I mean, I can't cite examples at the moment, because it's been so long since I played it, but I remember kind of having that feeling in that game, too, that there were things that you could just kind of, like, logically do. Like, I think, you know, like, well, like, in that one sequence where the guy's, like, throwing, like, the flaming, you know, the Molotovs at you and stuff, but
right.
You get, like, telekinesis, and it's like, well, I should be able to just grab that and throw it back at him, and
yep.
You can, and there's a lot of stuff like that, and to me, that's, like, the, you know, biggest thing with games now. That should be, like, the expectation in games.
You just do something that's logical.
Yeah, you should be able to be like, what would I do if this were the real world, and you should be able to do that in the game, and... You know, the really good games are doing that, and, you know, kind of separates the creme de la creme from the kind of run-of-the-mill stuff, I guess. But.
Yeah. I guess I just kind of find it frustrating, because, yeah, you know, you'll be shooting the teeth off of gear in one section, but then you'll have to be, yeah, throwing propane tanks at cars in a lake at the next.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I mean, there's multiplayer, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to beat it so I can play it. So.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely let you borrow it. So, yeah, I'm like in the Himalayas now or something, or I think I'm looking for like Shangri-La or some sort of stone. Or
yeah.
I don't know. The train got blown up really good. I blew up everything.
Nice.
Oh, the graphics are, God, they're very, very, very good.
Does it still do the awesome thing where there's, like, no load screens and
yeah.
stuff? It's just continuous?
When you first load the game, after you turn it on, it has a loading screen. But yeah. After that, it's like, yeah, completely seamless.
Because that was one of the things I really loved about the first game. You know, you'd go into a cutscene, it was, like, just seamless. You'd come out of the cutscene seamless.
Yep.
You're just right back into the game. And it was... That was something that really, like, stood out about the first one compared to a lot of games.
Well, Infamous did that, too. I mean, Infamous didn't have
yeah.
any load time somehow.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, you don't even notice it when there's no load time, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, when I go and play a game like Fallout, which, I mean, it's, you know, great and stuff, but it's like, you know, you go into a house or something,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, it has to load now,
mm-hmm.
and all that, you know, and you'd...
Did you install to the hard drive?
That yeah.
It's a little faster.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Oh,
it's
I assume
just
you got
you
the Xbox
notice.
Version?
Yes.
Okay.
I briefly contemplated getting the PS3 one, but...
It's probably not as good.
Yeah, I looked at the reviews, and it's pretty even between the two, but I remembered that I had already played it on the 360, so, you know, I had, like, these, you know, 40 out of 1,550 achievement points sitting
oh,
there,
well.
And that just won't stand, so...
I've almost got every achievement in that game.
Yeah.
It just would be the only game where I've done that, or even gotten close.
Yeah.
So, I've got a hack... What do I got to hack a few more terminals, I think, and like win a few more speech challenges and find the alien recordings, and that's it. Like 3 achievements.
I'm only at like 80 right now. So,
do you have any games where you've gotten all the achievements?
Like 10, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
The one that probably, you know, required the most effort or that I'm most proudest of probably is Oblivion, because I got all the way through Shivering Isles and got the full points on that. And God. Oh, Lego Star Wars, the complete saga edition or whatever, that one I got the full 1,000, and that actually took like over 40 hours of playing
really?
To get like everything in that game.
Well, I like the achievements on a game like Oblivion or Fallout, because basically you just have to do things to get them. It's not like you have to be like insanely good at
ridiculous crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like Guitar Hero 3 where you have like just these retarded achievements, like, you know, use the regular controller and beat this song. It's like, isn't the point of the game to use, like, the guitar controllers?
Well, speaking of music, maybe we should move on to iPod Touch versus Zune.
Very well.
Well, why don't you start, because you bought a Zune Pod Touch.
A Zune Pod Touch.
Yeah, I like that word I just made
wow,
up.
Wow, that was something. Yes, it showed up. When the hell did it show up? Last Friday, I guess. And so I, of course, frantically opened the packaging and, you know, loaded it up with stuff, and it's pretty sweet. I don't know what to say about it other than that it works really awesome. It's super fast. It's easy to navigate. The touch screen works really well.
Well, here, let's do this. Here's my iPod Touch.
Okay.
And give me your Zune.
All right.
Now give me $5. Now give me your 10 cents.
Let me see.
Now give me $5. Now give me the pubes.
Jesus. I have to unfurl my tangle of cords here, but... All right.
Oh. Wow, it's much lighter than an iPod Touch.
Yeah, it is. God, this thing is kind of meaty.
So who's this partially displayed woman on the cover?
Oh, you should know who that is. It's Vampire Woman.
Kate Beckinsale?
Yep.
I can't recognize her by her neck, I guess.
Well, Vampires!
Okay, so apparently I have to slide this picture of Kate Beckinsale off the screen.
Yep. Okay, I have, like, Wi-Fi networks up here. I don't want to look at that. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so what happens if I put... Okay, so it has, like, a big button, kind of like the iPod Touch does.
Yeah, which you should very rarely have to use the big button.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm playing with the Zune because I'm used to an iPod Touch, and Jones is playing with the iPod Touch because he's used to a Zune. So this is so we can get like a good opinion off.
Oh, here
okay.
We go.
Apparently, you have ABBA on here.
I do. Okay. See, I'm already confused. Let's see. I clicked music, and it goes to Beatles, A Day in the Life. Now, how do I get to?
There should be like a back button at the top of the screen.
Okay.
The navigation buttons on the Zune are much, much bigger.
Let's see. Okay, here I have all kinds of music. Okay.
Let's see. Now, this one I can, like, slide the screen left and right, go to Artists, Playlists, Songs. I've definitely thought that was something about the iPod Touch I didn't like. There's so much of it that requires you to tap a little small button, which is lame, especially if you're, like, driving or something.
Well, that's what I'm noticing. Like, on the song screen, like, it has... The letters are very small over here. Like for, you know, if you want to go to, like, Q or something. Wow, Queen of Hearts is the only Q song you have.
Yeah.
And it is a hell of a song.
I only have the 8 gig iPod, so I have to actually, like, think about what music I put on. That one, that was not a very good sync, let's say. I mean, I didn't even have any Shakira on there. There's a she-wolf.
Let's see, we have compilations.
Well, so you can, like, look. Okay, so I can, like, look at all the album covers.
Yep.
I don't think you can do that on the iPod Touch.
And then if you, like, tap a letter, I don't know if you noticed that on there, but if you, like, if you're navigating the artists and you tap a letter, it'll bring up, like, all the letters on the screen.
What's this email icon do?
Email icon. Oh, you can actually email a song to somebody, so like...
Oh, this looks like your friends list on Xbox.
Yep, it uses the same friends list, actually. I only copied the people over that actually have Zunes, though, so you won't show up on there.
No, actually, I'm here. It says, to Ben Heck, I could send myself this.
Oh, it's because you're probably connected to the Wi-Fi, actually.
Okay.
But
so basically... Oh, I see. So basically you tap the top of the screen and you can keep going back. That's
yep.
pretty cool.
But yeah, so you can send a song. So like if you had Zune, you know, if you had a Zune and you had the marketplace, like I'd send you that and then you could just like click on it. You know, I'd be like, hey, you probably would like this song. you know, and then blah, 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 and then you click on it, and it would just take you right to it on the Zune site.
Oh, well, you have Possumus Woman on here.
Of course.
This should be included with every Zune, actually.
Let's see, audiobooks. No audiobooks. I don't think there's an audiobooks thing on the Zune, but you could put them on there. It just wouldn't have its own category, I guess.
Well, you may find this a surprise, but I have not downloaded any audiobooks.
What a shock. And there's no podcasts on here either, although you can get those on the Zune also. But,
I definitely... I think the buttons are a lot bigger on this one, which I like. Not to sound like an old person, but...
I like the navigation on the Zune a bit better, I'd have to say.
Is the internet how I go on to the... The people at Engadget told me the web browser was really bad on this, but let's take a look.
I don't know. I thought it worked fine enough. I've never really seen a mobile web browser that really blew the old skirt up, so...
Yeah, the one on the iPod Touch is very limited as well. I mean, okay, so basically I can star things, and there's a search thing. Oh, of course, Bing!
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you can change that.
I'm shocked.
I don't even know how to get online with this. Oh, here, Safari.
A Fistful of Reviews. I've heard of this website. Actually, it's not loading too slowly.
Let's see now. If I wanted to go here, obviously I should go to...
God, I remember when we did this site. Remember? That was a couple years ago.
That's probably been like three years ago now.
Yeah, because we used the WordPress thing.
Yeah.
Was that before or after I WordPressed my site? Because that's been...
It was after, because you had, like, learned all of the, you know, tricks and stuff of setting up a template.
Did I do that in the spring of 2007? I can't remember.
This isn't connected to the network.
Brutal Legend.
That's interesting. Like, if I try to go to a site, it says cannot open page... And it doesn't, like, give me an option to, like, connect to wireless or anything. It just says...
You have to turn on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, you actually have to turn it on.
I do. Yeah, to save battery, I turn it off. Also, if you leave the Wi-Fi on, the email will check itself every so often and go beep, 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 beep. And it's kind of lame.
See, that's one thing that's neat on there. It's like when you go to do, like, an internet function, it'll actually connect. It'll, like, fire up the wireless and connect it at that point. And then when you're not using it, shut it off.
That's got something called push where it does that, I think, but
okay.
You still have to manually enable the Wi-Fi and turn it off, because certainly if it's just sitting there trying to find signals, especially, it's going to use up your power.
So is that in settings where you turn that on?
Yes. One thing I like about this is when you do the when you put two fingers on the screen to like zoom in on the Zune HD, it works really fast. It just like pretty much works at the same speed your fingers move, whereas in the iPod Touch, it has
some
latency.
There's a slight lag, you know? Yeah. Let's see. On.
See, to me, it seems like the killer app of the Zune would be the Zune Marketplace Store.
Yep.
That seems like it works a lot better than iTunes, which works like shit on a PC. And you know, someone might say, well, get it for a Mac. Well, guess what? 90% of iPod owners don't have a Mac. Yeah, I just said that. Yeah. Woodmans.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, too, as I say, like, I just signed up for the... You know, Zune Marketplace, the Zune Pass thing, and it is pretty damn cool because it's like you just go out there, you search for an artist, chances are they've got their whole catalog on there, and you can just download the whole thing. It's like $15 a month. You can download as much crap as you want.
I don't actually use iTunes to buy songs because...
Yeah, because of the DRM and stuff.
And apparently the non-DRM ones cost more money.
Yeah, it's the cool thing, too, with this is it's like you get the Zune Pass, it's like $15 a month, but then you get 10 song credits to use every month, which, you know,
so
you can think of as $10.
So basically it's like $5 a month.
Yeah. And so you can use those song credits to purchase any of the songs you've downloaded, and they're DRM-free. You can, you know, do whatever the hell you want with them. They're yours at that point.
Here's a brand new Britney Spears song. Apparently, it's called Three. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
But all right, yeah, I've heard that too. I think Jesse was telling me about that. Now let's look at Amazon. Da, da, da,
da. But it's pretty slick because the other night I was just like, I looked up George Carlin because I was in the mood for, you know, some different Carlin stuff that I might not have bought before. And went out there and they had just tons of his stuff, so I downloaded like 10 of his old albums. And it's just like, you know, it's... I mean, basically, you know, you can think of it like you're... To me, it's like worth it to pay $15. You get 10 that you get to keep. And, you know, you're doing it legally, and you don't have to be out, like, going around a BitTorrent and crap trying to find what you want. And, you know, it's just, it's so easy. I mean, it's basically like BitTorrent, because you can just go out there and download whatever the hell you want, but it's all just right there, and it's slick, and it just works.
Okay, so apparently, like, new songs on Amazon cost $1.29 as well. So I never buy new music, although I think I did buy that Womanizer song. Well, actually, a bunch of these... Oh, wait, no, these are recommendations. Let's see, what's a new one? Norah Jones, Chasing Pirates. Oh, here's the prices right here. Hmm, I guess it changes.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, a new release is on the Zune store, like, if you just wanted to go out there and buy it.
I don't like the iTunes store. Just it's so slow. Everything you like, you plug in your iPod. Watch this. Give me that iPod. I'm gonna plug it in.
Well, it looks like a damn spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's like it's all about lists. Okay, here we go. iPod plugged in. 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5, 1,000, 6, 1,000, 7. Oh, there it is. Almost 7 seconds for the iPod to show up on iTunes.
And you get to click out of a, you know, Windows screen that pops up saying, hey, look, I recognize some sort of device you plugged into.
Long before iTunes did. I'm going to click on the iPod. 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5. Seriously?
Jesus.
Did I actually click on that? Try it again. So, look, I'm clicking on it, but it's not even letting me know I clicked on it. It's just like, who knows what the hell is going on? Fuck iTunes. The only thing I use it for is to sync my iPod. The rest of the time, it can, like, burn in the bowels of hell. I use Amazon to buy all my stuff, but that Zoom thing looks pretty cool. Oh, here you go. Man. Yeah, it's a lot lighter, too. Oh, and when you move the screen, check this out, this difference.
Yeah, because that's got a bit of a lag on it when you turn the screen.
Yeah, okay, now we're doing the screen turning. I've got both of them in either of my hands. Okay. Oh, yeah, the Zune, check that out. Look how much faster the Zune does, the screen turning. It's almost twice as fast.
Yeah, wow, that is... Wow, yeah, there is quite the difference.
Well, doesn't the Zune have that Tegra chip, which is supposed to be, like, advanced?
Yeah, for the video and stuff. And then it's got the nice OLED screen and everything.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, like, necessarily...
It probably doesn't make that huge of a difference, but
I think the resolution's actually lower on
power.
It.
Yeah, I think it might be, actually. But it can, like, output HD video and crap.
So did you ever get that adapter thing?
No, I didn't end up grabbing it.
It's probably a bit superfluous.
Yeah. I mean, I got this for, like, the media capabilities more than anything. So, like, for music, principally. So... And then it's got, like, the HD radio that works really slick.
Norah Jones is Chasing Pirates. Is she, like, your cousin?
That'd be nice, because I'd have, like, a wealthy cousin, but not so much.
Oh, well.
But yeah, it's, like, the HD radio is pretty slick. I played around with it one night, and I read some review online. I think it was, like, IGN or something, and they were like, well, we can't even tell a difference between, you know... the analog radio and then like your HD stuff or whatever, and I don't know what the hell radio stations they were listening to. I mean, it's not like the regular radio sounded bad, but you had like kind of the crackle and stuff like that you expect out of the radio. And the HD, it's like crystal clear. I mean, it's like, you know, listening
like
a satellite
radio?
Or yeah, I mean, any of that sort of stuff. It sounded good. And you can tag songs that you hear on the radio and then, you know, go out and download them from the marketplace. And it's, I mean, to me, once again, it's like, you know, Microsoft, like with the Xbox, their killer app is Xbox Live. It's like with this, it's the Zune Marketplace. It's like, you know, Microsoft, first and foremost, they're a software company. And people can have their misguided opinions about Windows if they want and, you know, their various software. But it's like they know what they're doing. And you see it when you, you know,
well, yeah, look at how fast
services.
Look
like
how
these.
Fast the Zune Marketplace loads up compared to the iTunes. It's not even funny.
Well, and just the Zune software itself, it's like, God, like you were showing me, like when you hit, you know, S on your song list, and it would take like a couple seconds, and on here it's like, you know, split second. And
well,
bam.
So is Winamp too. There's really no excuse. iTunes just sucks.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's funny. Everybody calls, you know, Microsoft products bloatware, but I don't know, iTunes. It seems to be pretty bloated.
It has been
3 minutes
since your last update of iTunes. Would you like to update iTunes now? Oh, would you also like to install Safari browser?
And how about QuickTime while you're at it, too?
And don't forget, Adobe Reader has not installed its updates in 5 minutes. Installation size, 300 megabytes.
That's another cool thing with the Zune software. I mean, I just got the HD like a week ago, but I've been using a Zune for a year now, and I think there's been a couple, three software updates in that time.
Does that just go to your credit card, or how does it work on the Zune
for the marketplace? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can get it with
Microsoft points anymore.
You can use points to buy songs, but I think for the pass, you actually just pay a set dollar amount.
And it is just an MP3, so you could, in theory, put it on your iPod.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you try to put a WMA on your iPod, it'll reconvert it for you, but it won't let you have it on there.
Nice.
Oh, fucking. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing with the iPod. It's like, well, I think there's a website actually called Anything But iPod, and there's certainly things, mostly iTunes. If there's a way to get the iPod away from the iTunes, it would be a better world, but
yeah,
I'm like dreading the fact. I probably won't even do it. I was thinking about doing it today, but I probably won't reorganizing the songs and get better stuff on there, because right now it's I didn't sync it very well, but I just don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
And granted, it's partially my fault for not having a big enough iPod. I mean, I think like a 32 gig unit would do me for quite a while. Apparently they have a 64 now.
Yep.
Like when this thing came out, like even a 16 gig was like $400. It was like a significant step up in price.
Yeah. Yeah, like this, it's between the 16 and the 32, it's like $70. Because this is the 32, and it was like $290.
Yeah.
And then the 16 is $220. But, I mean, the other cool thing I like about the Zune, and I mean, it shouldn't matter, but the software and, you know, like the software you use on your computer plus, you know, the software on the device, it's just like pleasing to look at. And, I mean, yeah, that shouldn't be a big deal, but I don't know. It's just nice. It's like you open up the Zune software and it's just like very cool.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it's the sort of thing you would expect based on Apple's reputation. It's more like what you would expect iTunes to be.
Well, yeah,
like.
Because the Zune interface looks the same as the Zune software.
Yeah.
Whereas iTunes is like all different. Well, here's a question. Is there anything you don't like about it?
Not so far, no. I mean, probably the only thing that's a little annoying is, like when you've got a song up, you can, like, and it's playing, you can, you know, just touch the screen, and then it brings up the, you know, volume, plus, minus, and the track forward and back, mm-hmm. which that's fine, but, you know, every now and then, there's, like, this button on the side you can hit, but the button on the side is kind of tough to get at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just, like, there where you can just tap it. You gotta kind of, like, know where it is. And
oh, here's a question.
So, I mean, that's like a piddly little complaint.
In that same genre of functionality. Genre of functionality. I just said that, apparently. If it's off for a little bit, do you have to, like, unlock it, so to speak? Do you have to do that still?
Yeah, you can set it, like, up to 5 minutes, I think. And
yeah, I don't like that
lock.
On the iPod. Like, you want to change the song, but first you have to slide to unlock, and then you can change it.
Yeah, I wish I was looking, and I don't think you can just shut that off. I wish you could. Maybe there is a way, and I'm just not aware, but like if you go to timeout, it just has 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 minutes for your options. Because on this one you have screensaver always, but that's probably something else.
But does that thing have Twitter? I mean, the apps are certainly cool.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. I have heard, though, that I think it might be kind of like timed with when the Xbox is getting the Facebook and Twitter stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's November 17th, isn't it? Oh, this one has auto-lock, and you can set it to never.
Oh, nice.
Why don't I have that to never? Okay, now it is.
Well, there you go.
Yeah!
But I think they're supposed to be having those apps come out for this, too. And, I mean, yeah, that is one thing where, you know, the touch... To me, like, the only thing they really need to add to this to, you know, take away one of the touch's big things is to make, like, an email client for it. Which
the email is...
I would suspect they'll do that eventually. But to me, it's not like that wasn't a deal breaker. I wanted it for the music and, you know, things like that. And it's definitely met all of my expectations. And
of course,
I'm
when I was going to go in and buy a Zune, like when the Zune 80 came out.
Oh, you
I started
were?
Playing it. What?
You were?
Well, yeah, I went in to buy a Zune 80. But then I started playing with the Touch, and the web browser won me over, and I walked out with the Zune. With an iPod.
Yeah.
So, it is kind of cool. Like, I have my buttons here, so I can, like, just check my email, and this one guy emails me, and what does he say here? Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Can I has PS3 laptop for 3 broken PS2s?
Oh, yeah. Da, 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 da. It's kind of cool, like, lame, but I can be playing Call of Duty and I can check my email with an iPod.
So, I mean, that's definitely an area where, you know, the iPod definitely has the leg up, is on all that sort of stuff. But I think, you know, over time, Microsoft will, you know, come out with some of those sorts of things. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I think, you know, the one thing they're doing is they're controlling it more, because, you know, one of the things with, you know, it's a strength of the iPod, but then it's also a weakness, because, you know, there's, they can say, oh, we've got, you know, 75,000 apps or whatever the hell it is, but, you know, like, probably a couple hundred of those are actually useful.
Yeah, and the rest of them are like fart simulators.
Yeah, so it's, you know,
it's
still cool, though.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that's an area where Microsoft, you know, has to play catch-up. But, you know, like I've said, they're a software company, and if that's the area they have to play catch-up in, I'm not terribly concerned.
Right.
And they've been in the mobile game before anyways with Windows Mobile on, you know, smartphones and things, so it's not like it's foreign territory to them.
Well, I think the Zune HD is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And apparently that's all they're going to do going forward. Like, the old-school Zunes are all just going to kind of be phased out.
So no more hard drives?
No. It's all going to be, like, flash-based and, like, the Zune HD, so...
Yeah, I think, you know, however much space is on a hard drive-based unit, I mean, who's really going to put that much shit on it?
Yeah.
I mean, 32 seems like it'd be a lot. It'd be plenty. I mean, 640K is enough for any computer, you know. All right, well, we're probably about that time here. But, yeah, so Zune HD is pretty cool. The web browser is pretty limited, but, you know, this is the first revision. I'm sure that could be updated via software updates, and they probably won't charge you like Apple does.
Yeah. That's one thing, too, Microsoft's been good about, like, my experience with, I had the old, you know, original 30 gig brick Zune or whatever, and, you know, all the 2 or 3 software updates they did have, you know, over the last year, all the new features they brought out, they were all compatible with that old, you know, 30 gig one, and that's something they were always really good about. And there were people that were outraged when the Zune HD software update came out, and there were features that weren't backward compatible, and it's like, well, you do realize the Zune HD is a completely different device. Obviously, there's some things it can do that the old ones just aren't going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, the past couple, 3 years, they've kept, you know, supporting that old product and bringing out new features and, you know, updating it and not charging you for it. So it's
exactly
pretty cool.
Okay, well,
you were going to say something else.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, you should tell everyone about your Windows 7 party before we go.
Oh, yes, I got some sort of Windows 7 party pack in the mail, and I got a, what was it? I got Windows 7 Ultimate or whatever, so I'm probably going to ditch Vista. Not because I don't like Vista, but, you know, what the hell, I got Windows 7 for free, so why not? And I just had to throw some sort of party so people will come over and I guess we'll play cards with Windows 7 emblazoned cards and I don't know what the hell, but
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I guess so. I'm going to miss that. Oh, the same weekend I'm going to be at the Infinite Bits convention in Miami. Missing. The whole time I'm going to be like, God damn it, I could be at the Windows 7 party.
You're damn right you'll be thinking that.
Is Kurt going to go?
I don't know.
Is there going to be lots of tail there? Or
probably not. It's not a lips party, but...
Oh, shit. You mean you're not going to buy a $50 lips microphone?
Ugh. God, yeah.
I could see 30, but...
Yeah, 30 would be reasonable, but yeah, 50, it's like, Jesus Christ, come on. I don't know about that. Seems a little dubious. But it is what it is. This is the same, you know, I love Microsoft and all, but they are a little, I don't know the right word, but they...
I think your guess was right. They recalled all the Lips games so they could repackage the microphones.
Yeah, because, yeah, try going into a store and finding Lips with, you know, the two microphones. You can't find it at all.
I wonder what would happen if you went to... the online. Let's take a look.
Yeah, I think even on Amazon, they don't actually have it in stock. You can only, like, buy it, you know, from people that are, you know, reselling it. And
that's
shit.
Why you go...
But eBay,
eBay.
But, yeah.
Okay, here's microphone... Okay, yeah, the game came with two microphones,
yep.
Apparently.
Yep.
$28.
And I think it was either 70 or 80 bucks when it was new with the two mics, so...
So it actually cost more.
That would have been a hell of a deal, because you'd get two mics plus a game.
Well, people are actually bidding on this shit.
Well, yeah, why not? You know, if you got Beatles Rock Band and you want to get a couple extra mics,
mm-hmm.
There's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's weird. All these Lips games have bids on them. You know.
But yeah, it's like,
what if you just wanted the game? I wonder if they're getting bids.
Cause the game only came with the mics, so I don't know if anybody split them up or not. I don't think you could just buy the game on its own.
Man, that is definitely a high margin item.
But yeah, that's one of the areas where, you know, I like Microsoft, but they are a little unscrupulous when it comes to some of that stuff. I mean, they sell that wireless card for $100, although they're bringing out a new one now, so maybe the old one will have a significant price drop. I guess we'll have to see about that.
All right, well, so until next time, I guess we'll see you at the Infinite Bits convention and the Microsoft Windows 7 party at Casa de Jones.
Awesome.
All right, see you then.
Adios.